In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to comment on something that I heard during the Lord I Have Cried that really penetrated to my soul. This is the reason why I come to church. It's not because I'm a priest and because I have to do it. It's because I hear things that do something to my soul. And I want to have the ability, as the last prayer that I say, the prayer behind the ambon says, to attain to and to adore the Holy Resurrection. And I know that what holds me back from that, it's not God. It's not God's power, nor His grace, nor His willingness, nor His ability. What it is, it's my sins that keeps me from knowing God. And so I heard this stikeren that really penetrated. I have been wounded by the sword of pleasure, O Lord, and a shameful death has befallen me. O Master, pierced by a spear, who as Savior bringest healing to those wounded by the arrows of the enemy, heal and restore to life my humble soul, and grant me to share in thy holy passion. Now, of course, like all good poetry, it's bringing two things together based upon something that's similar. So a spear can be used, of course, for murder, and also a spear, in the case of our Savior, brought life. Because when he was pierced by the spear, that was the final act that was done upon him on the cross, and the blood and water gushed out upon Longinus the centurion and healed his eye problem. And later on, Longinus became a great disciple. So there's a spear that kills and a spear that gives life. And we are wounded by a spear, the sword of pleasure. This is something that we Orthodox understand. I don't think other people understand it so much. They think that this is a little bit morbid to be talking so much about our sins. But our sins are what get in the way of us knowing God. Our sins are something we need to be rid of. And we're very aware of them, especially during Great Lent. But in the midst of being aware of our sins, as I've told you so many times, our prayers speak about the awareness of sin, but then they generally finish with something like, heal and restore to life my humble soul, and grant me to share in thy holy passion. And let's talk about pleasure for a minute. There is pleasure, and there is happiness. The word makari in Greek means happy, but not happy like at Walt Disneyland happy. Happy by being with God, and in God, and being pure and holy, and having no passions, and being still and quiet. That's the happiness that makari speaks of. It's also translated blessed. Now, there is pleasure also, and pleasure can be good or bad, but when we pursue pleasure, it's always bad. There's no sin in the pleasure of enjoying a beautiful day, or a sweet child or something. I was getting my taxes done yesterday, and it was at a library, and this little girl marched in with a book. She was probably, 3 years old. She marched in. She had this sort of dress that had stripes on it and tights that had stripes, and she was just marching in with her book, proud as can be, and every single adult that was sitting there waiting was just staring at her because she was just so cute. There's nothing wrong with that kind of pleasure, to see something sweet like that. But to pursue pleasure wounds us. And of course, many kinds of pleasure, they not only wound our souls, but they wound our bodies. And dull us. They make us incapable of seeing God. And so we don't want pleasure. We want happiness. We want blessedness. The two are different things. Sometimes I'm sad at the end of the whole Holy Week and the Paschal celebration because I see people that are trying to derive pleasure from the Paschal celebration. They're bringing a basket full of goodies, of which most of them they'd already been eating the past 40 days anyway, but they wanted to bless their basket and then have a feast at their house. They were just pursuing pleasure, not happiness. Happiness is when the soul is open to God. and feels God within it, because God lives within the soul, lives within the heart. So we have to pursue happiness, not pleasure. We are not against things that give pleasure. We are against pursuing pleasure. We are to pursue happiness. And so when I heard this stikeren, I really thought, how often I am wounded, and those I know are wounded, by the sword of pleasure, by pursuing something which is not of God, by pursuing an entertainment or something else, or perhaps ego gratification or something else, whether it be physical in nature or whether it just be spiritual in nature. We pursue those things and they wound us. We Christians are to pursue happiness. And there is only one way to be happy: to be with God. God created us to know Him, and He gave us the best He could give us, which is Himself. But we cannot understand this gift unless we become like Him to understand it. This is just like other things in the world. You can't understand what it's like to be a mother unless you're a mother. You can describe it to someone, but that person would not understand unless they have become a mother. I can tell you what it's like to be a priest, but I tell you, experiencing it is a whole lot different than telling about it. In fact, I can't even tell you the things that I've experienced in words. You can only know what it's like to be a priest if you've been a priest. So we can only know God if we become like God. This is why we pursue happiness and not pleasure. The church by no means is against pleasure. Perhaps this falls into the category of TMI, you know, too much information. But I'll tell you, I've had spouses that their husband or their wife is not as interested in keeping the marital fast as they are. And what I tell them is, well, your body is theirs and their body is yours. The marriage bed is undefiled. Then partake with one another. And don't be silly and try to, like, not enjoy it. That's stupid. That's bizarre. If you're with your husband or your wife, make love to them and have that pleasure which is lawful, and you're ministering to the other. We don't think that by any means some kind of pleasure is wrong to have, unless, of course, it's something that's sinful that we're doing. Then, of course, the pleasure is wrong to have. So we don't have any kind of weird view about pleasure, that it's sinful to experience pleasure, to see a sweet little girl marching into the library and smile, and every single adult turns to the other and comments on it. Because it was sweet. That's fine. But to pursue pleasure above happiness, and that's what the world does for the most part, is a sin, and it wounds the soul. So we have to have a proper outlook about pleasure versus happiness. Pleasure is something that you enjoy and then it goes away. A fine bottle of wine, once you've drunk it, it's gone. And in a couple hours, it's even out into the ditch. But the happiness that God gives us, the blessedness from becoming like Him and Him sharing Himself with us, that is something that never goes away and that is permanent. So this is what we should pursue. And basically, I think Great Lent is a school to teach us how to pursue happiness versus pleasure. I hope that you're learning your lessons. I hope that you're saying the prayer of Saint Ephrem. I hope that you're reading the readings. I hope that you're praying a little bit more, fasting a little bit more, and struggling to put yourself in a condition so that when Pascha comes, that you would have the Lord come in and give you not pleasure, but happiness. That's what we're pursuing this whole fast, is true happiness. May God help us to leave off our sins, which wound us, and the pleasures which wound us, and for us to pursue happiness in Christ. God bless you.